welcome to Thermal Exhaust Port. I'm your host, Rick. With me are...
Kevin.
Yep.
Kurt.
Eric.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the core box set tonight.
Indeed we are.
All right. Good stuff.
Yeah. All right. So let's get into what we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about what's in it.
Yep.
What units come in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's in
what,
it?
What we think of it, right?
What's in the box?
What is in
the box? All right, okay, the host is not all there right now. We're going to talk about the core box, what's included in the core box, whether you want two eventually, depending on what your strategy is, what kind of stuff you, the diversity that you find in the core box, and just general comments, what everybody's looking at.
Yeah.
And I think we talked about it a little bit last episode about the depth of the box. I think, you know, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And I think we can all agree that you'll buy at least one core box.
Yes, absolutely.
It's
safe to say this is a getting started
with
Star Wars Legion.
Yes. It's the best way to get started.
Yep.
At least one. All right. So let's start with what kind of tools you get.
Yep. I mean, the general overview, again, without going too deep into it, right, we're talking about the range ruler. There's the movement, we'll call them widgets or templates, whatever you want to call. The dice that you need. You've got all the tokens that you're going to need. but I think the first thing that I think we really wanted to talk about was the scenario cards.
Yes.
Which I think are really unique to this game. And
you also get the models.
Well, yes, obviously. We'll get into those in a minute, though.
Yeah. The other tool you didn't mention is the learning to play, rulebooks.
The rulebook, sure. Yeah.
It's a pseudo rulebook. It's not the full rules, but they're available for free for download.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's safe that you get everything. You get to start playing the game.
Absolutely.
You can play almost everything with just the box.
Yeah. The learning to play is in the box, and the what's called the rules reference is on the download from the FFG site.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Everything to get started playing is in the box.
Yeah.
So that's totally correct. All right. So. Dice.
We're just gonna dive right into the scenario cards.
Oh, all right, let's do it.
All right,
because I think everybody knows what the tools look like and what the dice you get. What you say, we don't think really need to talk about those.
Well,
too
I
much.
Mean, if for those that don't know, they're FFG dice. They're different.
That's true. They are unique.
They're
not
their own dice.
Yeah,
right. So I mean, we'll go through them at some point as far as odds and stuff like that, but that's not tonight. So
yeah.
So the scenario cards, there are three sets of scenario conditions. The first set are the what I'll call the deployment, which explain the zones in which the two players are allowed to deploy. pretty straightforward. The first two are very standard styles, right? Just straight across from each other on the table, what I'll call the short or long way, right?
Right. There's a long table edge and a short table edge,
right.
And a 3x6.
Correct.
Right?
Yep.
So.
Yep.
Yep.
The other two are a little different. They're instead of having the entire table edge, you each have a corner, and you're almost going a diagonal direction across the table. You could say?
Sure, it's kind of an L.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, not quite a little cube in each corner. It's
correct.
An extra piece.
Yep. And then the last one is a very spread out deployment, right? You're in opposite corner. You have two deployment zones that are in opposite corners of the table.
They're all in the four corner edges.
Yep.
Well, let's cover this first before we go too in depth. What are the three types of ways you can affect a mission?
So,
so you have three types of cards. Let's talk about the mechanic.
Sure.
This is a unique mechanic.
Yeah,
so it's kind of important.
And it actually is really awesome.
It's much different than what you usually see.
So you have the deployment, which I just mentioned. We talked about. You have what I'll call the conditions, right? So
in environmental or scenario conditions on the table.
Right. And then the last one is the scenario itself, which actually defines how you win.
Winning conditions.
Right, your win condition.
How you're getting your victory points.
Yep. Yes. Yep. And the nice thing is it does you randomly do a draft in a sense.
Yes.
Right, because there's four cards for each.
Yep.
Yep.
And you'll use three of them. And then
you take turns essentially eliminating options. Yep. And it's
left to right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it's a really neat way of creating some variability in the games. I think it's a really neat thing. And I think we've all talked about how we're excited to see what additional scenario cards they come out with.
Well, I think we're also not even scratching the surface as far as, like, I really want to play this one or I don't want to play this one. I think we have ideas in our heads.
Mm-hmm.
But what it's hard to explain. I think you need to read the rules as to how this works. But essentially, it's different in every other game you've ever played because you get to affect the actual game as a pair, right? So you're playing an opponent. Together, you're eliminating or helping select what the scenario is going to be.
I think the strongest thing for me as a player is coming from a place like X-Wing, where eventually there's a community decision per wave of what the master list is. And if you look at the list building when it comes to Legion, if you're sitting in a tournament scenario or even a club scenario, whatever it is, you could stare across from somebody who's running a dual AT-ST list or dual snow speeders or whatever you decide is something that you know your army's not prepared for. You have the ability, before the game's even started, to draft out or create a scenario that's advantageous or
that's
weakens
a
the
really
strength of their unit,
yeah,
which
really
is something I've never seen in a game system before, is the ability to stare across from something I can't fight, but still create a battlefield where I have a fighting chance.
That's a really good point.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's a totally new system in my mind as far as how people do stuff like this. So I think it's going to be super fun to see how it comes out.
Yeah.
Especially like when we start seeing more. I think we've already determined there are new cards in one of the terrain packs. Is it that?
Yes, the one with the moisture evaporators.
Comes with a couple new scenarios. I don't know which cards come in it, but they're already making more, which is a positive.
Which is nice because I'm not only buying terrain, I'm buying something that the terrain might actually interact with the game.
Right.
And expand it from a player's standpoint.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think that's awesome.
Totally makes it for an interesting game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what are the
what
two?
Are they? Yeah,
what are the other two? We already went through the deployment, which is staggered.
The deployment. So the we'll say the battlefield conditions, right? So the first one is basic. It's called clear conditions. It's just there's nothing special going on.
Yep.
You want clear lines everywhere. And,
yep.
If you have far ranging weapons, you want that one.
It seems to be the case right now. Yep.
The next one is hostile environment. So this one reduces the ability of your troopers to remove suppression at the end of each round.
Which is huge.
You have to be more careful with your positioning to maintain your ability to remove those tokens.
Right. Yep. I mean, we don't have to dive deep into that.
Right.
You can touch on what suppression does from a gaming standpoint.
Well, we can talk about that later. Yep. It affects your troops, but
you have to be in contact with terrain.
You want to be touching stuff.
Yes. But from a suppression standpoint, it affects how many actions you can do per turn.
Yeah, well, that's
a high level thing. You want to clear those as quickly as possible.
And you don't get to just clear them automatically.
And we should supposedly say it's the unit leader that has to be touching the terrain in order to get it. It can't be just one of your schlubs on the side.
Yeah. So instead of just clearing it normally, you have to have it within a base contact.
Yeah. Right.
With almost everything in this game, it's about your unit leaders.
Yeah,
so
it's a big deal.
It's a big deal.
The next one I've got is limited visibility. Excuse me. So this one, again, is kind of if you're facing off against somebody who's got the long range weapons and you don't, this is definitely a condition that you'd love to bring out. Basically it reduces everybody's visibility to 2 in the first round and 3 in the second round. So it really limits.
It's like a clearing fog.
Mechanic. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which if you're going against somebody who spent a ton of points on range 4 weapons,
mm-hmm.
3/4 of the game, they're toast.
Yeah.
And they're not being used. And it gives you so much more versatility.
Yeah. Time to get up there and actually plug some stuff into them.
Yep. And then the last one is called Rapid Reinforcements. And this one is interesting. I haven't actually played a scenario with it yet. But it allows you to set aside up to 2 trooper units and deploy them later in your game, right? So they don't start on the table. They're going to come on later in the game from, you can deploy them almost anywhere, right? As long as it's beyond range 2 of all the enemy units, which, you know, it allows you to drastically adjust or change the condition on the battlefield midway through.
Yeah, especially depending on deployment and the other stuff. It makes,
deployment or the scenario, being able to drop somebody down where you really need them.
Or you're like, I want to get these troops touching or getting AT-ST range and stuff
Well, and to this point, most games have a reserve mechanic.
Yes.
This is the only one we have up until now.
Yeah.
Otherwise, everything's on the table and you know where they're coming from.
Right. yeah, this is, it makes, we, again, I haven't played with this one yet. I'm excited to play with it because I think it's going to, it could dramatically change the game as far as how we play.
But if you're fighting against AT-STs, if you can all of a sudden drop a squad right there with ion cannons, and stuff, yeah, you can do some
shit
in the
back. Yep. Well, and we'll get into what ion cannons are later.
So you want to go into command cards? It's probably the next thing.
We still have the actual scenarios.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
yeah,
go ahead.
How you score points.
Yep. So the first one I'm going to mention is Breakthrough. So this one is basically just get your unit leaders across the table into your opponent's deployment zones.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Straightforward as that. One victory point for each of them. You can get into the enemy deployment zone at the end of the game. The second one is called Recover the Supplies. So in this one, you put one, you're going to put out five objective tokens, one in the center of the table, and then you and your opponent will each put out two more. They have to be spread out beyond range one of each other and outside of range one of the deployment zones. And then all trooper units gain an additional action called Claim, which allows them to claim that token, right? So you'd mark it as being, you know, yours. And then you obviously have to defend it because your opponent will try and theoretically take it from you or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
And that's, again, just at the end of the game, you get one victory token or victory point for each of the tokens that you've claimed.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
The next one is intercept the transmissions. So this one is similar to the recover the supplies. There's going to be three objective tokens on the table. One, they're all on the center line, one directly in the middle of the table, and then one halfway between the edges and the middle. And on this one, you're only scoring at the ends of rounds two and four. So for that, you're looking at the ends of round two and four, you're going to gain a victory token for each objective that you control. At the end of the game, it's 2 points instead of one, and you control an objective by having more trooper unit leaders within range one. So,
yeah. Okay, so that's all the cards you get.
Nope, one more.
Oh, I'm sorry, one more.
That's all right.
Jump the gun.
That's okay. The last one is key positions. So this one, you're just alternating putting tokens on the battlefield until three have been placed or no more can be placed. Each token must be on a piece of terrain that is completely outside of all the deployment zones. And again, you get at the end of the game for each terrain piece with an objective token, the player has the most unit leaders in base contact with that terrain piece gets a victory point.
Okay. So that one is just at the end of scored at just the end of the game.
Correct.
Yep.
So I think
the only one that doesn't score at the end of the game is the intercept the transmission.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Got it. Okay. So all the rest of them just are at the end.
Yep.
Okay. Perfect. Okay. Interesting. All right. So that's how you set up a game essentially, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
So I can't remember what was next.
We were going to talk about the. The neutral, we'll call them command cards.
Universal. Oh, right. The universal command cards.
So I think we kind of touched on what command cards were at the beginning. Each person's going to build a deck before the game starts. There's a bunch of requirements as to how you do it.
Yep. So there's four different levels of command card, right? So there's I'm going to call them pips, right? There's a 1, 2, 3, and 4 pip. And they correspond to the initiative level that you're going to get to activate in, depending on whether you use that card. Mm-hmm. And the number of pips is the priority level. So the lower numbers, you're going to get to act sooner.
So contrary to other games, like if you want to go first, you want to play
pick
a one
a lower pip. Card. Correct. Yep.
But usually that's limited amount of units you get to activate.
Correct.
That.
Correct. So the lower numbers you usually. So the way this works is that, again, I think we've talked about it briefly on the other episode, is that to activate your units, you're drawing the tokens randomly, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The command cards allow you to assign certain units or a certain number of units with their tokens at the beginning, so they're not randomly in the bag. You can choose when to activate them. The lower pip numbers, so the more advantage you're giving yourself as to when you activate, right, or getting to go first, mm-hmm. the fewer number of units you're generally getting to assign those tokens to. So the one pips usually have one, two, and two, three, and three.
But when you play them outside of, what is it, standing orders? What's the one called? Standing it's gone.
Order. Right, yeah. So all of the others are a one-time
use. So you have to decide when you're going to play those cards.
Yes.
And it's also important to note that, though we're not talking about them, each commander has their own
cards. Their own unique ones that you can choose to use.
And if they've been eliminated
from
the game, you lose their cards.
Right, you can't use them anymore.
Right, so you can't use your Luke cards if Luke is gone.
Yep.
So it's an interesting... It adds another whole dynamic to the game, right?
Yep, agreed.
And I got to say, this is kind of one of my favorite parts of the new parts of it, because... Not only do you have to keep track of what pips you've used, what cards you've used, but keep track of what your opponent's used. So mm-hmm. you know, are they going to play this card? So I need to play this card before them.
Yes, and so again, the your deck that you build is always seven cards. It's 2-1 pip, 2-2 pip, 2-3 pip, and then the one standing orders.
Yeah, the 1-4. Yeah, mm-hmm. So okay.
So from a strategic standpoint, those are the real meat and potato cards you have to worry about in the core box.
Sure. And it is also worth noting, I don't think any of the ones in the core box do a lot of like special abilities.
They don't have any special abilities. Yeah. It's just a number of units they allow you to place tokens for.
It's fairly generic in the box, but when you start getting into the commander cards, you're going to start seeing that it's not just units; it does other things in addition to.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Which can be incredibly powerful.
Well, and I think between the scenario cards and those command cards, it takes a game that I think is. Not necessarily rules heavy, and adds a level of depth to the strategy.
Yes,
which allows a almost beer and pretzels type game turn into this. Oh my god, I have to stop drinking because I have to pay attention to what I'm doing right now because this is a lot deeper than I thought it was going
to
be.
You don't have to stop drinking. Yep. I will call out one thing here that I'm noticing, and I actually just now thinking about this. Currently, is the only way you can get those cards.
Yep.
Yes.
It's one of the few things you cannot get outside. A lot of the tokens, I suppose. Every box set, like if you buy just Rebels, come with a set of tokens.
Tokens, you're right.
Right.
Yeah.
Everything except those command cards and the scenario cards that we've just discussed, you can't purchase outside of the core box.
You're right. That's correct.
You need at least one core box if you're going to play this game.
Between you and one buddy at least, right? Like one of your buddies could have bought it, and you could buy a bunch of other stuff that isn't the core box, and you'd be fine, right?
It's, mm-hmm.
But in the long run, this is probably your best way to get those cards because you're going to need them.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's essential to playing the game.
It is also worth mentioning you get two of each of these in the deck, in the box.
Yes. Those universal cards, there's two of each.
You get a Rebel set and an Imperial
essentially,
set.
Essentially, yes. Yep.
The best way to describe it.
Yeah, so. That's actually a good way of thinking about it.
Yeah.
Okay. So those are core command, core scenario cards. Yep. Should we move on to the units?
Yeah.
You ready for that?
Let's start out with the core units.
This is going to take us forever as it is.
Yes, let's keep going.
What's the first level? We want to go commanders first?
What do you want to start with?
Let's go commanders.
Okay.
Or let's save them for last.
Yeah, so commanders, let's not blow our load right away.
Let's save the sexy ones for later. Oh, yeah. All right, the proton torpedoes we're going to hold for later.
Yeah. It's just to say, the thing that everyone wants is going to be the thing we're going to end with, yes.
Yeah, we're turning off our nav computers for that one.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the base units then. What's the category?
What kind of stuff you can get in the box.
Yep.
You have core. Well, in the game, there's core, there's support, there's heavies, and there's commanders.
Yep.
And there's specialists.
The heavies aren't included. Those are the expansions.
No, I'm just saying. Oh, that's your options.
Those are your types of troops. Yeah.
So, let's start with the core units because that's the one you're going to have at least three of in every game.
Yep.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Outside of the starter games that you're playing, you're going to have at least.
Which keep in mind, you will not be able to fully have those three with the core.
Yes.
Yeah. You'll need more than that.
Yep.
Yeah.
So which one of those core units do you want to start with?
Well, we Han shot first, so
Rebels
yeah.
All Rebels right. It is, yeah.
All right. Let's start it off.
All right. So we got Rebels.
Yep. We got the Rebel Troopers. And they have got a little special ability called Nimble, which basically means that you give them a dodge token, they spend it, and then you just get another dodge token.
Sure.
And they each have, each trooper is a trooper, so they only have one health. One shot kills them. They have, I forget what this is called. If they take one suppressive token, they lose it.
Their courage value is one.
Thank you very much.
Yep.
Courage value is one. Their defense dice is the lowest one. It's a
dismal.
A dismal, yeah. It's a white dice.
The white.
So
yep.
I love it.
Yeah. But
yeah, of course you would.
I'm a huge fan.
Yeah.
I'm not. But
I love fine. The Rebel Trooper.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. By the way, the white defense dice has one defense and one search marker.
And never tell me the odds. We'll talk about that later.
Okay. Good call. And they have a surge value into, they can surge into shields.
Their defense.
They have a defensive surge. Yep. Well, and we haven't obviously talked about that yet, so.
Yes.
We'll get to it.
We'll get into it, yeah. They have a movement of two unarmed for one black dice. Range combat is a 1 to 3 at a black dice.
Sure.
One black dice.
Okay.
And they also have some upgrades. They add a rebel trooper. Targeting scope, concussive grenades, the Z6 trooper.
I would just start with which options they have. So they have an extra unit. They have a heavy weapons option. They have an equipment and a grenade slot.
Correct. Right. Yeah. We don't have to drain the cards too because you're going to buy a core set.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think let's just maybe talk about the strength of each unit.
As a general sense, yes.
Yeah. So what's the strength and the weakness? I think the strength of the Rebel, as we've discussed many times,
trooper.
Mm-hmm. Their trooper is they're shooting with a black dice.
Yeah.
That's their strength.
Big deal.
It's sexy.
Nimble's great. That's the other one, right? So you use a dodge token, you get a dodge token back.
If you play them right, they can be hard to kill.
They can be very tactically defensive. Yeah, and they have a defense surge, so they're meant to be defensive.
Yep.
Right? Mm-hmm. Their downside is they're using white dice for defense. Which is kind of dismal. But if you're using dodges right, you're hopefully going to help
that'll help overcome a little bit of that.
Well,
and the thing to remember, too, is that the nice thing about the dodge tokens is that they're guaranteed.
Right,
right,
yeah. Right. They're not a dice roll, so it overcomes the white dice. You're right, a little bit. So
what options do the heavy weapons give to maybe giving a strength or a weakness to each squad?
The heavy weapons, you can either do something that's more anti-infantry or anti-armor, anti-vehicle.
Okay.
Right. They got a strong anti-armor or vehicles in general, right? Yep. Anything that's not a trooper model. And then they have one that is, I think, more or less meant to take on troopers.
Yep.
Right?
Yes.
Yep.
Throw more dice.
Yeah. Yep. Throw a lot more dice. Yeah. It's like doubling your dice for the unit, which is pretty good. But it again.
Well, and I think the defensive nature of them too is, it's really hard to kill an entire squad in one roll.
Yes.
Even if you're dumping a heavy, it's so hard to do it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and I think we'll talk. I'm sure we'll talk at length about each of these units in the long term. But I think that's the strength of the Rebels. So on the opposite side, we have the Stormtroopers.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And I think their strength, correct me if I'm wrong, I think their strengths are they have a red defense dice.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's a big deal, yeah.
It's a lot harder to kill.
And they have precise one.
Yep.
Which allows them to, what does that give you?
It's when you use an aim token to reroll your dice, you get to reroll an additional dice. So instead of just rerolling two, you get to reroll three.
Yep, which is great. And then there's other things.
Yeah, like the Rebel Trooper, they can also take the upgrade cards with targeting scopes, which allows them to reroll one more. So a unit with targeting scopes is going to reroll four dice when it uses an aim token. And that really helps mitigate the fact that they're only shooting with white attack dice with their guns.
Which is arguably their weakness.
Yeah. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So,
but they do also have the advantage. They also have a surge offense, which means they get a surge into another hit.
Yes.
Which... Well, right. It does help mitigate the white dice. Yeah. But again, it's the weakness is that they have those white dice, and if you're not using the aim tokens, you're not. At least in my experience, the number of hits you're getting does not feel like.
Which
it's
what
enough.
I think that works from a thematic standpoint.
Yeah,
though. Very true. I think it's Rebel Troopers would be harder to harder to kill in that sense, or more effective from a defensive standpoint if you play them that way. But if you look at Stormtroopers, historically,
the classic.
They can't hit anything, right. So we have to almost strategize to the point where they actually are effective.
Now, what are you talking about? Only Stormtroopers could be that precise.
God. Okay, that's a quote counter. That's one tonight.
Yep.
We paid attention to.
Yeah, that's true.
The Last Jedi.
Jedi. All right, well, so what do we got next? So those are the only two core options
we
have.
So you get two units each of those.
Yep.
They have a bunch of options. Like we said, they each get a grenade option. They each have some heavy weapon options.
I would say let's touch real quick on the two heavy weapon options for the stormtroopers.
Right. What are their heavy weapons do?
So the first one is the rocket launcher. So it's 3 black dice, and the big deal is it has impact 3. So this is your anti-vehicle weapon.
So it's anti-ATRT at this point, essentially. Oh, you got
speeders. If you have gun heavy,
other thing to remember is that it does. It changes hits into crits, so it also helps you get past cover, right?
Yep.
So that's another big...
And that's a big mechanic in this game.
Yes. Yeah. And another thing that this isn't the first time we'll see this mechanic is the exhaust mechanism, right? So when you shoot it...
No, wait a minute. Never mind. I was going to say, I think I was thinking that wrong. It's not going to help you get past cover because it's only when you're attacking a unit with armor.
It just negates armor, or it
changes hits into crits when you're attacking something that has armor.
Yeah. Yeah.
It will help if a vehicle has cover, but it's not going to help you.
We may have done, for impact, we've been playing that a little bit wrong. You just do the cover and dodge tokens
before you convert
into impact.
Okay.
Well, we're not going to admit that on the podcast, so Kevin's going to have to maybe eliminate
I'm willing to admit we don't know what we're doing yet.
fair.
We're definitely learning. That's good.
New game.
Most likely, this whole thing's going to be about whether economically it makes sense to get a core box or two or four or whatever you end up getting.
Yeah. Or eight.
But, we're going to play things wrong probably until we stop playing this game.
I'm sure we're going
to...
To be fair,
I'm going to definitely be playing things wrong until we finish this game.
And quite honestly, I mean, we're brand new.
We're like the rest of you. We don't know what we're doing.
We're reading the rule book together.
Yep.
So we will obviously, when we call out special rules that matter, we'll be getting into that in more episodes in the later. But so basically, that is cumbersome.
It is cumbersome, so you can't move and fire, and it is also
exhausting.
It does exhaust, so you'll have to spend a recovery action to get it back.
So it's
exhausted.
It's essentially slow, but it's got a good range, so it's a nice weapon.
Well, and I think again, one of the things that I found is that you can once you get into the cycle of how you move and attack, and we can get into this maybe later. I don't know that I think the exhausting portion of it is necessarily that big a hindrance. I think there are other ways you can get around that and still be able to, again, you have two actions, right? So if you're not suppressed, you could theoretically fire it with every turn as long as you didn't need to move because you could just recover and then use it again.
It prevents you from getting your aim.
Yep.
It would, but there are other ways you can get that.
It's picking your battles sometimes, right? It's like, I want to do this, but I can't do all of it, which is kind of the nice mechanics of the game.
And again, sometimes it would be recognizing that you're going to maybe lose a turn of shooting because you're going to move and recover, right? You can get into a better position, and then your next turn you'll aim and fire again
for
to get your
turn.
Good odds rather than moving and shooting without an aim anyway, which, as we discussed with the Stormtroopers, is not always that successful.
I feel once you start putting on the heavier weapons, you actually have to plan ahead. You have to be like, okay, I'm ready to go on turn 3 with this, and this is going to be my next. You can't just go willy-nilly with it, because if you have to recover some of these weapons, you're going to waste the points.
The other, so that was the rocket launcher. The other special weapon for the Stormtroopers is essentially a sniper rifle. It's going to be 2 red dice into the pool, which is really nice, because those only have 1 miss on them.
They're the strongest.
They're the strongest attack.
You want to roll reds. Yep.
Yeah,
you
want to roll
red. You seem to want to roll red all the time.
Yep. So they're very, very good at hitting. They do have impact 1 again, so helpful against units with armor to add that extra crit. And again, with Stormtroopers having a surge on their attack, that means that you're going to hit 7 out of 8 times with them. So
sure. Okay. So we're going to stop it there for 1 second and ask the question. If I had a core set and I was going to paint one of these over the other one first so I could play it, which would I paint?
I'll be honest. I think from a ease of play standpoint, I would do the sniper rifle.
No.
Oh,
I agree.
Between rebels and stormtroopers.
Yeah.
I didn't mean...
All sniper rifles.
I meant,
I feel like I should know
it. I think it's safe to say it's easier to paint the Imperials than it is the Rebellion.
Yeah. All right. Fair.
Agreed.
Okay. Just from ease of painting.
Yes.
If I was that's fine. That's where I kind of agree. I decided to do the rebels like a silly man. But whatever.
Silly.
If you're looking to just get on the table as fast as humanly possible, you go Empire.
Yeah.
It's a no-brainer.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Sure. So let's move on to the next units, which are support, because that's all we don't
Correct.
Right? We don't have any elite units yet. There aren't. I don't think they even exist in the game yet.
Not yet.
No.
No. No,
we'll be seeing them eventually.
They're coming. They're coming down the pipe.
Yeah. Some of
yeah,
them,
we, yeah. We already know the commandos are on their way.
Yeah.
And...
But yeah, they're not going to be here for yeah. several months.
Yeah. Yep. All right. So we have an Imperial unit and a Rebel unit here. Which one do we want to start with?
Well, let's jump back to the Rebels again.
Jump back to the Rebels.
All right.
Okay. Yeah. For the Rebels, this is actually my. Well, we'll get to talk about that part later on, but the favorite units. This is the AT-RT. It has two upgrades, a hardpoint and a communication. It's armor, which means that you ignore all just two hits. It only takes damage from crits. It is a climbing vehicle, which means it can climb like a trooper, and expert climber, which means you don't have to do certain rolls to do the climbing. Just climber up the wall.
Yeah, you get free climbs.
Yep.
And the other thing to call out, and it won't make entire sense until you read the rule book, is that it's a ground vehicle,
yes.
which means it's touching the ground, obviously. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Which will apply more to...
In 5 seconds, yeah. it'll yep. make sense. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And they also, unfortunately, also have a white defense dice.
It seems to be a common theme.
Beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, it's a giant lumbering mechanical thing. I think it's okay to say it's got just yeah. the white dice.
True. Yeah. yeah. And this one has 6 health, but it also has a special, because it's a vehicle... It has a special mechanical ability where if it takes 4 damage, it's damaged. And there's you have to roll a dice, and it gets basically a condition mm-hmm. that happens to it.
Yep.
But
yep.
since
yep.
we're not going into rules and death, we'll get to that later.
Yeah, what's the strength of it? I think we can say the weapon choices are probably its strength.
Yeah, agreed completely. I mean, even in melee, it has 3 red dice and impact 1.
Yeah.
Which is great. The base weapon isn't all that great. It's range 1 to 3 with 2 white dice. But
it's essentially the guy on top shooting.
Yeah, with a blaster. But
yeah.
what the fun stuff is the hard points, which is it can take one of these weapons. It's either a like an anti-vehicle weapon, a laser cannon, which is 2 to 4, 1 red, 2 black, impact 3, but you can only fire from the front. A anti-infantry, which is 1 to 3 with 5 black dice. Or the really fun one, if you can actually get this off.
Yeah.
Range 1, flamethrower, 2 black dice. Blast, which means it ignores cover, fixed front, only fires the front, but the really nice one is the spray ability, which means if you're targeting a unit, you hit every single unit in that squad with the 2 black dice. So if
you
it's
roll
guys,
2 dice for each guy in yeah. the squad.
Yeah, maybe, that's amazing. But
so if you're a Rebel player, why do you want to play this thing?
Oh, because you can complete melt an entire Stormtrooper squad in one go, which...
What's the cost? Oh, let me ask that, because I mean, the Rebel units are... I mean, your core troopers are going to be... Yeah, your standard.
I was to say when you compare them side by side, we've compared them side by side. They're fairly comparable
okay.
to most. It's yes. not there's not a significant difference
gotcha.
Between. I mean, every point counts in this game, but
mm-hmm.
it's not significant enough yep. where you're going to be like, oh, I can't yeah. like, make
yeah,
a difference.
Yeah, because the anti-tank vehicle is going to be more expensive than the close well, range.
What's the movement range?
Oh, sorry, it is a movement 2.
Okay.
We're gonna keep asking questions until we drain the card, right?
It can. I'm just saying, like, it's pretty versatile.
It's maneuverable. It can climb, which means it's versatile as yeah. far as like where it could be and how it does stuff. It can displace troops, as you'll find in the book.
Yep.
So it can move.
You have to worry about this. If this thing hits the table, I have to pay attention.
Yeah. Yes. Especially if you're depending on which weapon choices you have. But if flamethrower is kind of scary, and you're going to deal with it as fast.
I don't
as you
like
can.
That. I don't like that at all.
You don't want to let the thing get up close.
I want you to lose those cards.
The other thing. To note that is that it also has a an attack surge as opposed to a defensive surge.
That's
like the other Rebel
units. The only one we have right now. Oh. Yes, correct.
Yeah, and it's a surge to a crit, which is even more important.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yep.
Yep.
All right. And the other upgrade is just a type of communication, either a long range
These
are the universals.
Right. It's the comms. Yep. So the long range communications are the comms jammer right now.
Yep. Yep. So you got a couple options. They don't have a lot of options, but it's enough options to count, right?
Yeah. Yes. And again, the comms options really just come down to how you think you might want to play the unit, right? Yep.
Is it going
to
be a flanker or do you want to get that up in people's faces?
Yeah.
Yep. Mhm.
Yeah.
It's a decent unit. I'm never going to play it, but
I think the thing that keeps it I didn't answer the question that was asked, but I was talking about point cost. It's relatively inexpensive.
Yeah,
it's only what 10 points or 15 points more than the Rebel Troopers base anyway.
15.
Yeah.
And how many of these can I play in an army?
So you can have up to 3 supports.
Okay.
So you could have 3 of these. So you could you should buy 3 core box sets.
Go right ahead.
We're not sponsored by Fantasy Flight Games, by the way.
We'll talk about that later in the podcast.
Yeah. All right. So I mean that's.
the support troops for the rebels.
Yep.
So, Kurt, what do the Imperials have?
The Imperials have the speeder bikes.
Awesome model.
Yes.
Awesome
model. I mean, it's super iconic.
Oh, yeah. That thing paints up so well.
I just want to put Luke on one or Leia on one, I mean. Luke and Leia on one.
It'll come. That model will be here.
I really hope so someday. That'd be awesome.
So these are considerably more expensive. Again, when you talk about point cost, they're almost twice as much as the
but you're getting two of them.
Yes, you are getting two.
So I mean, it's two models.
It is two models.
And they're two wounds each, so it's almost similar.
They're actually three wounds.
Oh, they're three wounds
each.
So they're the same amount of wounds.
Yep.
Yeah. Just in two models.
What is this able to do?
They are cover one, so they do have an innate cover wherever they are, which is nice.
Just because they're fast.
Because they're moving quick.
Because they're moving quick, essentially, yeah. And then they are considered a speeder, so the speeder one. Yeah. So they ignore certain terrain that's a height one or lower. Mm-hmm. You can move around. But it also means that you have a compulsory move every round, which means at the beginning of their activation, they are always going to move their whole entire move.
If you're playing this right, it's a free move.
It's
a good thing. Don't freak out about this.
Right. Oh, yeah. Well, it's a good thing.
You're
going to
always move with these, so it's essentially a free action.
It's a free action.
Which is great.
Which I'm sure is accounted for in the point cost.
Oh, yeah.
I'm
sure. And again, you asked about it on the ATRT. So they are move three. So this is as fast as you can get. These things are going to move across the table.
Which I think we've all seen the movie. That makes sense.
Yes, it does.
Everybody agree? Yeah.
They're fast, yeah.
So, other things to note, they are not particularly defensive, unlike the Stormtroopers. They are only white dice for defense.
It's the speed.
Made up for somewhat by the cover, obviously.
Cover helps them, yep.
They also have both an attack and a defense surge.
Oh, wow.
Which really helps.
That's really nice. Awesome.
So they are going to be defending essentially as good as the Rebel Troopers are.
Yeah.
But they do still have that offensive
surge.
How
far
as
is the compulsory move?
It's three. It's the full.
So you technically can move three, aim, and shoot.
Yep.
Oh, my God. I need to play these things more.
There are some limitations to the compulsory move that you can read through in the book. Bad things happen if you can't pull it off, right?
The thing is a small enough base. This isn't the airspeeder.
No. It is very. I don't think it comes up very often. I don't think it will, as long as you're playing them kind of close to right.
Yep.
But there are times where it could actually. Yeah. You could blow yourself up.
So what else is on the card? Is that it?
So there's two different weapons. There is the bike gun, right? So this is a fixed front, right?
The pew thing, yeah.
So you got to shoot in front of you. It's one of each dice, 1-3 range, impact one.
Yeah.
So pretty straightforward.
It's a great gun.
And then your alternate weapon is basically the dude's gun on the back, right? So he's pulling out his pistol shooting two black. It's only range 1-2. So.
Yeah, you're pistol whipping people if you can. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's fine.
Their only upgrade right now their only upgrade is comms. So, as we mentioned before, it's long range comms or jammer.
Okay.
I think I'll say here that, again, it depends on what you want and how your army composition is. The long range comms is going to be good if you want to be able to issue them order tokens.
Yep.
Because you're probably going to be moving them well away from your commander. Mm-hmm. They may not be able to stay within the three command range.
These, it's safe to say that's the case.
Yeah, but your other option is if you're not concerned about when they activate, then the comms jammer could be useful because then you could stop your opponent from being able to issue orders to their units because you're getting up in there.
It could very well be more disruptive to use the jammers.
Yeah.
I think we
haven't played with them enough. Yeah. At least I haven't to have a good feeling on that yet.
We haven't played with them a lot, but I think we've seen enough less plays just as we were trying to learn the game.
Yeah.
I think it's safe to say this is a really good flanker.
Yeah.
I think that's the one thing we've noticed is just from the flyers.
Mm-hmm.
Most of what I've seen is people just flying them in there to shoot. And even the games we've watched in our own club.
Yeah.
They fly them right in and they're dead. So I think what we learned with this, especially with the compulsory move being that big. It's about getting around and pestering your opponent from behind.
Yes.
Which at that speed you could do it in turn two if you decide to devote your first turn to just movement. That's what that unit is for, is getting around behind and making them not just immediately push forward.
Right.
Yep. All right, so I think anything else to cover with
the speeder bikes? I think we pretty much got it. Yep. I don't know what else there is to say. I guess the one other thing to note, that as a vehicle, right, they only have three wounds. They don't have a disabled value.
Right, just because they only have three wounds. And
right,
it's
they're basically
unit,
three is enough.
Right.
They're just going to blow up.
This is the thing we didn't cover, and this is the important thing, is the repulsor vehicle versus the ground vehicle. Yes. right?
Yes.
So that's this is where we were saying 5 seconds ago that this would be different because this is not a ground vehicle where it will not displace troops unless you end your movement on top of units, I think is essentially how it works, if I remember correctly. Well, we don't, like we said, we don't know all the rules, but
we don't know what we're doing.
Yeah.
Not barely know what we're doing. I didn't have the microphone the right way for half of this thing. So okay. It was like, what is going on?
That's our host, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah.
This is the guy that
the
owns
guy
all
who
these
runs teams. Another podcast.
It's a little different setup for that one. This is arguably a much more professional setup if you know how to use it.
If only we were professional.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Professional?
Yeah. No, I won't call us professionals. No. The equipment may be professional. Yeah. We are not.
Yeah. The gear looks
it's
great.
Like
the rest of us
a bunch of monkeys
probably
banging
peaked
on buttons here.
Much yeah. sooner than this. Yes.
I peaked long ago.
All right. What else do we have?
Yeah, so now we have, I think, the only thing we have
left. Are
we
left? Onto the, yeah, the commanders, right?
Yeah, this is the bread and butter
this
right here.
This is the meat and potatoes.
This is the thing that sold, I think, all of us when you don't run them into each other. I think that's not the play, but...
No,
All right, so we got Luke and Vader. We got which era Luke? Which one did we determine this?
This is Bespin Luke.
Bespin
Luke. This is 100% yeah. Bespin
okay.
Luke.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stop painting them black. Stop it, internet.
Yeah, I mean it's a fair assessment to believe
there'll
that
be
they'll
another
make
one.
A return of the
there
Jedi.
Will be a return.
Yeah.
There'll be plenty of Lukes to choose from. Just have some patience.
Yeah. Yep. You gotta it's gonna be a couple years because they got some characters to get through.
Have some patience,
right.
It'll be here.
Right, right. Paint them how he's supposed to be painted. You'll get another one later.
Yep.
You're right,
yep.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. All right, so Rebels again. Luke.
All right. Luke, also known as the hero of the rebellion. He's 100 to 60 points. He's got two like force powers he can take, and also a gear upgrade.
He's got some upgrade options that are pretty cool. But yeah. We'll go into some of the force stuff in a minute.
Yep. And start off, I'll just go through the dice stuff first, and then
specialize. What's his lightsaber do? Which lightsaber does he have right now?
He has Anakin's lightsaber.
Trekking. Okay. Yeah.
With six black dice, impact 2 and pierce 2.
So he's a badass.
Oh yeah, he can eat through a stormtrooper squad pretty quickly. And he actually does have a ranged weapon, which is actually kind of nice. It's Luke's DL-44 blaster pistol, range 1 to 2, 2 red dice, and pierce 2.
Yep.
Which is kind of nice. Also, unlike all the other Rebels so far, Luke actually has a red defense dice.
Yeah. As I say, almost every commander is going to have better than most of your other stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Does anyone...
For 200 points, that thing better be way better than the rest of them.
You better be deflecting every laser shot.
These leaders cost as much as an AT-ST or a speeder does.
Or like 4 trooper units for us.
Yeah, this guy better come in and... And he
2.5,
did.
I guess.
He destroyed us.
So they're expensive enough that they better be doing pretty good.
Yep.
So,
yep.
I mean, yeah.
He also has six hit points or life points or whatever you want to call them, but his leadership or command, what was it called again?
Courage.
Courage.
Thank you very much. Yep. Oh, I'm gonna forget all that.
Eventually. It's fine.
It's a 3.
The less you know, the better I play.
Right. Yeah, so that's
yes.
and that
Eric can never change.
I'm already old enough that I think I'm not gonna be changing much.
I love it.
All right. So. To answer what courage is, if you don't know what courage is, because we've already answered what suppression is, is it helps you with suppression with your trooper units.
Essentially, as you take suppression tokens from being fired on, the courage value is what you're comparing it against to determine whether or not you're losing actions. Mm-hmm. So if you have as many tokens as your courage value, then... you don't get to take all your actions. You only get to take one.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have twice your courage value, then the unit's actually going to panic and run off the board.
Right. Which rebels only have a 1, if we mention that. But so that means
Both core trooper units only have a 1.
Right.
One courage.
So keeping your commanders near your core units, I think it's going to be for most core units.
Yes,
that makes sense.
The panic check, they can use the commander's.
Right. So that's their courage value is mm-hmm. basically used for something like that.
Yep. And Luke, for a surge, it's a surge into a crit also. He's movement 2. Now into a special blaze, which gets kind of interesting. He has a jump 1, which is when you perform a move during which you ignore terrain that is height 1 or lower. And you treat this as a move action. So basically, he can use force to jump up to on top of a cliff, on top of a building. And then the charge ability, which was... Fun to play a little bit ago, is after he makes a movement action, you may perform a free melee attack. And that means you're still limited to the one melee attack per turn. You just don't have to spend an action to do it.
Right.
And then after that, he also has Deflect, which is when he spends a dodge token, he gets the surge to defend. And if he rolls any surge in that defense, he can deflect the attack back at the models that shot at him.
I don't like that.
No. Yeah.
Well, I'm not a fan of that.
I think let's read Vader's card in a second. But
yeah.
I think we're more afraid of that than we should be.
I mean, we haven't seen it really.
Well,
do
we want to touch on the command cards that he also adds?
Yeah, we should. We'll get there.
Because I think that's
first we got to cover his last rule.
That's what murdered us.
He has one last rule. Not much, but he's immune to Pierce, which means normally Pierce is you ignore a defense dice.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I'm sorry. There's another rule that he forgot on there. It's the force projection.
I was going to say that joke. God. You beat me to it. Yeah, I was waiting for my moment.
I was waiting for mine, too.
Yeah.
I was like, where's that upgrade card?
Yeah, yep. Great minds think alike.
We already talked. This is Bespin, Luke. Yes. He doesn't know how to do that yet. Yep. Just you wait.
Oh, fine. You're right.
That's true.
He has not drunk enough blue milk.
Last Jedi one will come out eventually. You're
God
right.
God damn it.
All right. That's our last. That's our last. First,
no promises. That's not going to be our last Jedi joke.
Well, this episode.
Well, do we want to get into the upgrade cards or wait? Because Vader has a lot.
What's
of
the exclusive light side one?
Let's just cover. I think we don't need to drain all of these as we've mentioned. Everyone can read all these cards, but I think where do we think the strength is for Luke?
Yeah, what's the overhaul? What's the highlight?
For Luke?
What are the light side ones? Just cover the light side.
Yeah, there's one light side force ability called Jedi Mind Trick. It's a action where you have to exhaust it to use it. And it's choose an enemy trooper unit at range 1 to 2. It gains 2 suppression tokens, which can be
that sucks.
Big. It can be big.
I don't like that.
Suppression tokens are a big
deal. They're a big deal.
That's a big part of this game. Big part of the game. Putting suppression in certain places where you want it,
mm-hmm.
and so being able to like command in some more is it can be very devastating.
Like if you can put suppression tokens on a stormtrooper unit who can't focus and
could you think about could you think about our last game where we roll in. Double hit you,
yep.
and then put 2 suppression tokens on the unit just across from it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Like, that's a huge difference in how
I don't like
that game
plays
out.
Let's not do that. I don't like that. Not a fan.
Yeah, I don't like that either.
But nah. So you essentially, I think Luke gets 2 force abilities, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
So he just gets 2.
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then is there any other light side ones?
No, that's the only light side one. The other ones are universal.
Okay. Well, we can cover those in after Darth Vader.
Yeah, let's go to the real commander. Enough with this Luke guy.
Did we want to talk about his command cards first?
Yeah, go through and get command cards.
He's got some special command cards. Okay. Let's talk about what is his one pip.
The one pip is called the Son of Skywalker. It's when he activates, he can only give the token to Luke. It's after Luke Skywalker performs this first attack, he may perform one additional attack. And so basically, you play this, and you can wipe out an entire Stormtrooper squad.
Yeah, so the tactic I've seen or we've played once is you technically can move, then charge for a double move, and you still get 2 attack actions mm-hmm. out of that, which is that's devastating to be able
it's
to
a long
move.
Distance to go.
Yeah.
How many dice is that?
He's got six black.
It'll effectively be 12 black dice.
And he's got Pierce 2 and a whole bunch of other stuff.
Pierce 2, Impact 2, and Surge to crit.
So could you technically use that against an ATST?
Yes.
And just wipe it?
Oh, you're probably pretty close.
You could probably wipe it in one turn if you get lucky enough.
Give me that card. I'll take it.
I hear it ripped up.
Yeah, exactly.
You get your own card. Wait, you got a corset. You have your own card.
I got 2 corsets.
I say he only has Impact 2 on that. He's not going to get enough crits to take down an ATST in
that's
one round.
But still, it's enough to make me
it's enough to be concerned about for sure.
It does all sorts of crazy stuff. But so that's Luke. Some of Luke's stuff is pretty good. Oh, it's his 2-pip.
Two-pip is my ally is the Force. He can pass out tokens of 2 troops. And when a friendly trooper unit is issued an order, it gains 1 dodge token. This is big.
It
really helpful.
It's for one turn you're going to be given dodge like chiclets to everyone.
This is my least favorite one of all of them.
Mm-hmm.
In a good or positive way. You don't like facing it?
I hate facing this.
Yeah, because there are positive and negatives to it, right? So, like, do we want to talk to strategy of these
yet? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, okay. I think the positives of it are is that every unit's going to get a dodge token.
Yep, yep.
Right? The negative side of it is there's a good possibility they've already been shot by the time they get their dodge token because they haven't been issued an order yet.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
The positive is that the 2 units you give their command tokens to, get it right away.
Mm-hmm.
So that almost dictates like, oh, these units I think are going to get shot or they're in the open and I need them to have dodges now. So it almost dictates where you put your command tokens,
mm-hmm.
not because it's like the strategic move play, but just because where you want the dodge tokens,
yeah,
it could be a double-edged sword.
Sure. This is the strategy of the game, man.
Right. No, I know. It's you're going to have to pick your battle.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
But I think it's a really strong card in the sense that every unit will end up with a dodge, especially with Nimble, mm-hmm, right? Like, mm-hmm, all of your core units with Nimble are...
I'm desperate for you guys to have another command option to get this guy out of the army.
Oh, I can't wait.
I can't wait for Leia.
I'm ready for it.
She was so good.
I was going to say, I'd like to see it because I'm scared of what they're going to figure out like, how to do with them.
What was the name of the medical droid in Empire Strikes Back? Can we have that guy be your commander? He's 10 points. I'm fine with that. Guys, bring that model in. Like, get this guy out of the army.
C-3PO just wandering around in the field. Yeah.
Like, he speeches, as long as he speaks bocce, we're fine with
that. Yeah, all right.
The third card is a 3-pip card. It's a Return of the Jedi. It's this one you can use Luke and two other units. And when Luke Skywalker is issued an order, he gains one dodge token. When Luke Skywalker activates, each friendly trooper unit at range 1-3 of him may remove one suppression token. Suppression token. That's the word.
That's really, that can be really nice.
It can be strong as well, yes. Both of these cards. I think we're going to find with Vader that their custom cards are pretty good.
The moral of the story is that the commander cards are way better than your regular cards.
Oh, yeah, very much. As it stands, I think how many standard cards do you get? Four?
Four.
You get one of each pip. And you get one of each pip with these, so your base set is predetermined at this point, right?
So unless you're rolling two commanders, this is what you have.
Yeah, yes. Which is going to become an interesting dynamic when they become more and more available.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's going to be... At 800 points, it might be a little difficult, but it's still going to be fun. Yeah. It's going to be fun and interesting. For sure. Yeah.
It's hard to run two commanders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's not so bad for the Empire right now, but...
Yeah.
No, I mean, your second guy's pretty inexpensive.
It's super cheap,
yeah. All right, so let's... We don't have him yet, though.
No, he doesn't... Well, yeah, he doesn't exist.
as far as this episode goes.
We're not going to talk about him right now. We know he exists. It's Veers.
Well, we talked about episode one. Yeah, Veers. We have Veers. We're currently...
We looked at him, but we'll talk about him
later. We're practicing with him. You'll hear about him in a later episode.
This is the core box set. So, all right. So, Vader.
Good old Vader. So,
He's not good.
Yes. No, he's good, Vader. This is what I'm talking about. So,
you already killed the Emperor?
200 points base. He just has 3 force power up options.
Only
3. Only. Yeah, only 3. Maybe there'll be a different Darth Vader that has, 4 or 5. We'll see. Mm-hmm. Maybe later.
Right. And that will be the bad Vader. Right?
That'll be the bad Vader, yes.
Yeah. The one is his helmet's off and he's just gasping for air.
He's like, move one. Luke is dragging.
Burning
him.
Vader. Yeah.
You say that, Rick, but remember, he's already only move one.
I forget that's right. He's only move one. He's slow.
That's my only problem with Vader.
He is slow.
It's every video game I've ever played. He's flying all over the place. And in this one, he's got like a bad hip or something. It takes 45 minutes to get him across.
Now, there are ways. Let's get through his stuff because I think there are ways to mitigate
that's fine, a little bit.
I like to think of him as more of the like slow, menacing. Like he's purposeful. He's not gonna run across the field because he doesn't have to. He's Vader.
Right.
He's just gonna start walking towards you, and you're gonna see him, and you're gonna be like, "Oh dear God, I have to get away from this."
Right. He doesn't care if every stormtrooper around him is dying. He's gonna walk up and do it like a trooper.
I wish some of his other abilities reflected that a little more. But anyway, so he does have deflect, similar to Luke. So when he's defending, if he spends a dodge token, he gets the surge to a defense, and for every surge that he rolls, he can deflect a shot back at the attacker.
Yep.
He's also immune to pierce, so he'll always get to, he won't automatically lose his, rolls again for defense. He does have Master of the Force 1, which is really nice. That means at the end of, during the end phase, essentially he can ready one of his, force abilities. A couple of them are exhaustable, which is very nice.
Yeah.
Can
and I think we'll use see them why every turn. Yeah. We'll see why that matters.
And then although he is only move one, he is relentless. So like Luke, it means that he can attack after he's performed a move action.
Right.
Now, to be clear, Luke's is called charge and is different than relentless because Luke's is only a melee attack action, where Vader's is just a free attack action.
Yes. So he can do other things with it from
right
range.
Now.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a basic ranged attack, so the only other attack action option he has is the universal upgrade force ability, which is his lightsaber
saber toss.
Saber toss. So That's the other option that essentially...
Right, essentially he gets to throw his lightsaber, and it's half the dice of your lightsaber.
Half the dice, yep. Yeah. So he does have red defense, like all the commanders so far.
Nice.
8 wounds, or hit points, however you want to call them. His courage is infinite.
Yeah, that's huge.
So he's not running from anything, which is rightfully so.
We need to play more Vader.
It's not... Well, he doesn't gain suppression tokens. It's nobody is going to run away while he's there.
Yeah.
Right.
Because nobody's going to run away when Vader's there.
Nobody will panic. Yeah. These stormtroopers are not going to break if he's around. They're more afraid of him when it's all over than getting shot by the rebels.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I think is very fitting.
It's very fitting for Vader, yes.
Vader has Vader's lightsaber, which is 6 red dice.
So good.
Which is just awesome.
So good.
Get out of the way.
Yes. He doesn't have a surge on the attack, unfortunately. So it's he's still only hitting on 6 of 8, but it's still
devastating.
Awesome. Yep.
What's his defense actually?
Red dice.
He's got the red dice.
Yeah. All the commanders are the red dice right now. Yep.
Yep. That makes sense.
And his saber, like Luke's, is impact 3, pierce 3. Mm-hmm. So still solid against vehicles if you got to go there, and
pretty much solid against anything. Mm-hmm. The only thing they seem to not do super well against is the other hero. I think Vader wins the Luke Vader fight.
Well, I mean, long term he should theoretically. Yeah.
As long as Luke doesn't get a lucky alpha strike.
It just comes down to Vader has the better dice and more hit points. So
I think the only way Luke wins is if he gets the alpha strike and the double attack.
On odds, Vader's gonna win.
He should.
He should. Again, he's what, 60 more points, I think. Luke is 140.
160.
Oh, 160. 40 more points.
Base. Yeah.
Yep.
So what's the dark side upgrade?
Exclusively. The exclusive dark side is Force Choke. His iconic Force Choke. It is an exhaustible. Mm. So here's where you might want to spend that action every turn. And it's helpful. I like it for being able to clear out a unit that you couldn't quite finish off. So basically,
although if 6 reds doesn't do it, dear Lord,
it might not be what he's engaging on, right? So it's choose an enemy trooper mini at range 1. It's not a commander, so you can't do it to Luke. And it just suffers 1 wound, right? So it's great for when you're shooting into that other trooper unit and you couldn't quite clear it out, or they got their good saves and they have 1 dude left. It's a finishing move. Or even if there's only 2 guys left, but one of them is their special weapon, you get to take out the special weapon. I think it's especially helpful. And again, it's 5 points to be able for him to just take out a model.
So here's a question: what does it cost to completely kit him out with all the force powers?
Let's see, saber throw, which you're definitely going to want, is 10.
Okay.
And then Force Reflexes, which is one of the other universal options, which allows him to gain a dodge token, is 15.
It's not bad, though. That dodge token's nice.
So if you did those 3, you're looking at another 30 points, so 230.
So, okay, you guys have both run both commanders. Is it worth kitting him out for the extra points?
I think we can talk about that more later. I don't know that we have a good understanding. I think there's... like a lot of other games, I think there potentially is a trap in kitting everything out.
You don't want to max out 1 unit.
Right. Maybe this case it's different, but I don't know that it is or isn't yet. Okay. So I think universally the idea of being objective about the idea, sometimes maybe you want all the cards, sometimes maybe you don't, and I don't know which way is right yet.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe neither one of them is right. Maybe sometimes either one could be right.
I was going to say, I think one of the things that, at least at this point, although, as we've mentioned, there is still a lot of depth in the options that we do have, at the same time, there aren't that many. So you don't have a whole lot that you can always spend your points on. If you've already... filled out, I wanted to bring my full stormtrooper units, right? And I already kitted them all out, and I brought a couple of speeders, and now I'm filling in Vader, and I have, I only have 15 points left or something as I'm filling. Okay, well, yeah, I guess I am going to probably give him, as much as I can, even if it's not the most optimal. I can't, I've already given my troopers grenades and, targeting scopes, and I already gave my gun to the AT-ST or whatever. you know, I don't necessarily have a lot of small fill-in-the-gap point options right now. Mm-hmm. So at least I'm finding when I'm building my lists that I have the points to give them three upgrades.
Yeah, sure. At this point, our upgrades are more filler than they are strategic.
Right.
Yeah.
When you start getting more, when you start adding other units in, or you've bought more of it, it becomes a, do I want more models? Do I want more cards? It's sometimes, it, I don't know which way is right.
I don't think any of us have figured out how to play the Commanders perfectly yet.
Oh, no.
So
no.
To put
the game in general,
250 points into one guy that's just going to sit in the back until turn four and we realize we should use him.
Right. Yeah. I think
we're not the people to ask about that.
No, right. Well, you asked it.
I thought you guys might know what you're doing, but then you failed for the last time, Rick.
You've been playing games with us. Yeah. Thanks for that.
I've been playing the Rebels only this time. I don't know Imperials that well.
Well, and again, I think there's also the point to make that I think a lot of other games that we have played in the past, the Commanders have been a more critical member in the sense that you've had to be a lot more careful about putting them on the front lines in a lot of cases. At least that's my experience, right? You had, like, you know... I played War Machine in the past. Obviously, your commander in that game is a huge deal, right? You lose him and you just, that's the end of the game altogether,
yes.
Right? Just done, right? And even in a lot of the other games we've played, you know, when you have a commander, you don't always want to, you know, just throw them out in the front line, where here in the core box, as we've noted, well, you still can't just throw them out into the middle, right? If they got to take six units of fire, they're going down probably.
Yeah. You have to avoid the focus fire.
But they're still meant to be initiating on the troops, right?
Yep.
They want to get across the table.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be careful about how you do it, but you want to get them there.
Yeah.
And that's a different mentality, I think, than we're used to.
Yeah.
So I don't feel like we've used that.
And
we're like, oh, I'm going
to
stand
fair,
back and, you know.
Okay, so I mean, when you lose your commander, you lose their ability to use their command cards, as we described. So if you lose your commander while you've done your alpha strike of some kind, sometimes that might be okay too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like Vader killed two units. That's all he's going to do anyway. He's dead now. Okay. Well, he soaked up a bunch of fire and now he's just done his job.
Yeah.
Right. Like there's potential for sacrificing here that I think is fine, because remember, I think almost every scenario
is objective based
on unit leaders of core troops unit leaders of troops. So, while Vader and Luke are awesome, they are actually not going to score you any points yet.
No,
right.
They're there to protect the core units to get them across.
Right. I mean, they're essentially there as an assault support unit.
Well, and I think we've learned from some of the flashier toys, just having them on the tabletop and somebody having to be worried about them.
Yep.
Oh, very true.
Even if you lose them by turn four,
mm-hmm.
you've just had three to four rounds of just all of the attention on that one unit, and the rest of the units are able to go do stuff.
Right, especially if they're focusing. I mean, and this is a strategy we'll talk about later.
Yep.
You're taking the focus away from the core troops that are scoring you the victory conditions in the
right.
game. Right. Now I have this other model that is taking and soaking up a boatload of damage.
Yep.
And it's taking focus away from the thing that actually matters in the
Absolutely.
Game. Absolutely. That's not to say you can't ignore Luke. But or Vader, for that matter. But it still makes a difference in the game.
Yeah,
I think
definitely.
That's. I think it's an interesting aspect of the game that we're going to get into more, I'm sure, as the further we go in.
So what are the command cards?
Command cards here finished up. So his one pip is called Implacable. At the end of Darth Vader's first activation, he may suffer one wound to shuffle his order token into the order pool. During Darth Vader's second activation, he performs one fewer action. So very similar again to Luke's, where he gets the second free attack. I would generally look at using this one when I'm expecting to get him engaged, or you know, very nearly there. The nice thing about Vader is that in this case, if his first activation he got up in and, you know, let's say he killed a unit, but there was another one right next to it. His second activation, he actually still gets to move, so he still gets the one move to get into combat again where he's steady and can actually make his attack action.
Right. So he gets another charge. It's not charge for him, but same.
Right, but his similar. Yep, exactly. So that's a nice little kind of extra that
How many pips is that?
That's his one pip.
That's just Vader, right?
That's the big
Vader. That's the big Vader one. Yep.
I want Vader to just go and
wreck
stuff.
Vader go first, wreck something, and then do something later.
His two pip is called New Ways to Motivate Them. This year, applying to two trooper units. And then the special is when a friendly non-Darth Vader trooper unit with a face-up order token activates, it may suffer one wound to perform one free action.
Okay. Yeah.
So essentially you're sacrificing one of your troopers to get an extra action, which could be give you the ability to move and then aim and shoot, or do a double move to get into a better position and then shoot. Obviously you can't still shoot twice, but whether it's dodge or whatever else. And again, as we start to get more trooper units, there'll be even more fun options that I think that'll open up and interesting options there. Obviously the drawback here is that you do have to take a wound off. Both of these so far you've had to take a wound off.
Yeah.
Just so, part of their trade-off.
Vader's kind of ruthless to himself, to his units, but he gets to motivate him.
It's fitting. I like it.
It's very flavorful as far as it goes.
The last one is called Master of Evil, which is his 3-pip. It applies to himself and two units. When he is issued an order, he gains one dodge token, and then when he activates, each enemy trooper at a range 1 to 2 of him gains 3 suppression tokens.
So gross.
This is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Again, one more reason why you want to get Vader up into the troop lines.
Yep.
You get him up there. You know, you use the one pip to get him the extra move or whatever you want to get up there in the earlier round, and then you get him. He's in range now, 1 of 2 of 3 or 4 units, maybe even. And you, the next round, you're using that one, and it's just done. You're shutting down a rebel turn potentially, and it feels good when you do that.
It definitely seems that you want to play aggressive with Luke, but even more so with Vader.
Well, yeah, he's a hyper aggressive character. Oh, yeah. 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 Okay.
Huge fan.
Mm-hmm.
I love him.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Sorry.
No. We're nothing but professional here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. As that comes through, it's okay.
All right. What else we got?
I think that's everything in the box.
That's everything in the box.
That's a cool. All right. Box. So here's the grand question.
Yeah.
This is the question everyone. I think other people are asking this question, or other people are answering this question. Is should you buy more than one core box set?
Yep. Because what are the general Definitely. Expansions we have available for us right now?
Well, so I think essentially everything that's in the core box is available day one as a standalone box,
thing.
Yes. So you could buy a core box, which gives you 2 of either core troop, 1 support, and a commander.
Yeah.
Yep.
Can you get Vader and Luke outside of it? I don't think you can.
No, you cannot. They only come you have to
have the core box.
So you have to have the core box. Okay, so
you have
you're
to have
buying
one.
You literally can't
one.
Play the game by rules unless you have a core box.
Yeah. Your buddy could have bought it and you can play with that, right?
Yeah, sure.
You could do
That's
that.
True,
or you
yes.
could split a you could have split a core box with someone.
You could
right?
do that too.
So you're buying one no matter what.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Okay.
I think the question that maybe is in there is if you're not necessarily planning on playing both factions, is it better to buy just the extra troop boxes by themselves as opposed to another core box?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's break it down. I think this is an important question.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking.
Yep.
I haven't bought anything more than core box
right.
yet. Tell me,
so,
what should I do?
Well, right. I think a
don't,
lot of,
don't look at me. Don't look at me, Rick.
Yeah, just spend the money.
Are you? If you're trying to be economical about this, we're the worst people to ask.
I think that's false. Actually, I think
we might. Yeah. Well,
let's break it down. Okay. So, like we said, you can buy every unit in the core box separately for $25 a pop.
Mm-hmm.
Speeders are $25.
I don't know what speeders. I know the ATRT is.
Somebody have
a
cell phone? Do you Google something?
We're in the middle of nowhere. I can't actually Google. I think all of the base set was $25 a box.
I'll see if
give or take.
Give or take. $20, $25, whatever, depending on the source you buy them from, whatever. Mm-hmm. Figuring out your side. If you're only taking into consideration one side, you're playing Rebels or
Imperials. Yeah.
So you got 2 core units, which I know are $25 each.
Yes.
And a support, which I believe might be 30.
Yeah.
The ATRT might be 30.
Yeah. It's more expensive than
the
core box.
So doing the math on that, that's $80 right there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Plus tax and
purely
shipping, whatever.
Mathematics. If you're looking for model, saving on the dice, getting some extra movement, what do you want to call them? Templates.
Widgets.
And the range
widgets,
markers.
The
if you're going to snap your range marker and you want to back up.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the you're correct. The AT-RTs and the Rebel Troopers are $25 for the expansion boxes.
Okay, so the AT-RT is 25 as well. Okay.
Yep, it is 25 so as well. It's, so same it's 75. With, same with the Imperial me. Items.
Get extra dice.
Yep.
So you're buying an extra box of dice, then is another 20 or 18 bucks, I think it is.
You're 15. Almost up it's to another 15. Core box already.
Right. Yeah, just doing the math in the Rebels, 75 yep. bucks, you're Wait. Almost there. Buy dice, buy the extra sets of templates because you're going to eventually break one of them.
We've seen it already.
Yeah, right. It didn't take long.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's another 12, I think, is the range ruler.
Yeah, they are
10-ish somewhere in there. So that's 85. You're 15. Literally like, oh my gosh,
15 for the dice and 15 for the.
But you're getting a free army. Rulers.
So essentially, yeah. If you bought a second core box, you're getting as many dice as one of the expansion boxes. You're yep. getting a second set of rulers. Mm-hmm. You're getting a second range ruler. You're getting a second movement template set.
All the tokens you'll ever need tokens, in your life.
Literally, you can lose yep. all your tokens and still have some. Yep. You have a second command deck. Option. So say you want to build another one or you want to have two of everything or whatever, you have two different decks you can use, not that yep, they yep. change right now.
Yeah.
Everything about it is economical in my sense because now, like you said, you have the Imperials on top of the Rebels or the yep. Rebels on top of the Imperials, yep. depending yep. on which way you like it.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thanks.
That's so I mean, that sells. It's a really
simple
right?
answer, right?
Right. Right. I mean, it really just comes down to unless you can't, unless you need to slow the progress, or even then, if you can't buy a second core box right away, right, because you don't have the funds to save up. Don't just buy the expansions and some other stuff.
But what do you get in the expansions that are right. separate from the
so
core
let's,
box?
So let's there talk about that. There's a few right. things. No. So, and. The Rebels, the AT-RT expansion Rebel is a different model. So if you're going to run three of them,
speed is the same way.
Yeah. Yep. So there's a variance model okay. there, right? So it gives you some, like I have three AT-RTs and I might buy the box just to have a third different.
Just
one.
Look different.
Like,
sure.
Just to have something different.
It is kind of nice.
It's the pose that comes in the box is really nice, but it's unique enough. That it's kind of weird to have two of them on the table, let alone three of them. So it's a little bit bizarre. I don't know.
You guys are pathetic.
I don't know that anyone. I don't know that anyone else here is as pathetic as that to me. But that's just me. But whatever. Yeah. And then the Rebel box,
Trooper box.
The Rebel Trooper box.
They're different models again, right?
No, they're not. They're identical models.
It's exactly the same.
Exactly the same. Unfortunately, I was hoping for some variance in there. Yeah. I
would buy it at that point, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The only thing that's different is you get a different grenade.
Yeah.
And the grappling hook.
Oh, yeah, you get so you get two upgrade options that are unavailable otherwise.
In the core box.
In the core box. Mm-hmm. That, I mean...
If money is no object, just buy everything.
Yeah.
Let's put it this way. I bought two core in one box just to get the upgrades so I knew what they were and had them available if I wanted to play test and not feel like I'm just like... stealing stuff off the internet, right?
Yeah.
But is it worth it? I think I can do without the grenades if I really wanted to. Grappling hooks I've not used yet, so I have no idea if they're good or not. But for the difference in cost, I think I'd pass. I think I'd almost buy a third core box set if I want to fill out my Rebel core units.
The one exception I would make is if you are planning to go into the tournament scene, because they do require that if you want to play with those upgrades, you have to have the cards.
Well, of course, that makes sense. And I'm not saying that that's not true. We'll get into this.
There's other ways you can get those cards other than buying it if you really want to go.
If you really want to figure that out, you can figure that out. That's not a game-breaking thing.
Oh, yeah.
As far as economics of it, I'd rather spend less by buying another set.
Because right now we're not talking about optimizing your builds. We're talking about getting into the game.
That's true. If you're getting into it
and if you're looking for, I want to have... You need three units to legally, three cores to build a list.
And if you're, if you're talking all the expansions, you're going to have four or five units.
Mm-hmm.
Minimum, guaranteed, you're going to have at least four.
You're going to have four with two cores.
Right. You get four.
Yep.
Plus, you essentially are getting a free army out of it. And that's not to say you can't split it with a friend.
Or turn around and sell it on eBay or something.
Right. I can guarantee if you're playing it, you're playing it with someone else.
Someone's playing something else.
Yeah. Someone's playing something else. All right. So somebody's going to play Rebel. Someone's going to play Imperial. You could very easily buy a core set each, break it up, and you're set.
Yep.
Like you're
If you and a buddy buy a core box each and swap your stuff, you're good.
Yep. And the beauty is if you're the Imperials, you still get a Luke to paint.
Mm-hmm.
And the dart,
and
get
if you
Darth
screw up one of them, you get a backup Luke.
Well,
to paint.
I mean, you wouldn't if you're splitting it with someone. You'd each get Luke and Vader, but you got the iconic models you get to paint.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, you still get to paint the fun models.
The model that you're everyone's excited about because it is the iconic stuff.
It's
and
the
you're
one.
The first model I painted was Vader because why would you not? Like, I'm going straight to it.
Of course.
I shouldn't have, but I.
It shows.
Rebel player knows
doesn't,
where the
no,
real.
No, but it's still the whole idea. Like, I didn't pay off my painting. Like, I didn't paint a bunch of rebels and then paint.
Oh, I went
Vader.
Right to the troopers because I knew I'd get bored with
right,
those stormtroopers.
That's what I'm saying.
And by the 20th, I was like, I got to break the monotony here.
Yeah, I got to throw
it was,
Vader
it, in, I yeah. planned ahead for that.
Yeah, I just went straight. I got super excited and was just like, paint Vader right away.
Immediately.
Just, yeah, it was just like, break it open. Okay, well, I think we answered our own question.
Yep.
Long term, it may be different. Like, this is right now during course. Like, essentially, we got some very early expansion stuff.
There's limited expansions.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, we're seeing some new stuff on the horizon. Like,
it's
there's fleet troops. I don't, there's snow, or snow troops.
Snow troopers.
Snow troopers are core. Right?
They're
core.
No,
right?
They're core.
I don't think, I think
they're core.
Snow troopers are core.
I think they're core. The first elite we're seeing.
Look that up
is,
for us so we don't look like complete hacks.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I thought they were elites.
Of course, you're getting an elite unit first, yes.
Well,
I'm fine with this. I'm not. It's okay. But if you're... I don't see a reason not to buy two core boxes.
No.
So, okay.
Even just the game tokens dice and everything.
Yeah, I was just saying, I thought they were a core unit. Because we got fleet troops and snow troops coming. Mm-hmm. And then we got commandos. I don't know what the equivalent for the stormtroopers are.
No, they haven't shown them yet.
Yeah, I don't think they've been shown yet. But so there are some on the horizon that might change that. And again, in a year, this is going to be obsolete as far as like whether or not
it's the same thing as like when we got X-Wing.
Yeah.
When X-Wing came out, you had three ships,
and you
bought two cores,
and you bought two core boxes
what you did.
Straight away. Yeah, yeah.
Then now it's at the point where those core ones feel so elementary compared to what's available.
There's an expansion of expansion of what's
Legion
available.
Will get to that point. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure that you will be able. I think it's going to be a little bit more versatile in the fact that. You're going to make your build and you're going to be able to do some different stuff with
it
maybe, but, and you're going to be able to pick the scenarios that are going to benefit the model or
the type of list that you build. Yeah.
I think that's the beauty of it is it's kind of a meta fix almost. Mm.
Yeah.
Right?
I like that.
Right. Cause it's like, you can't build to a meta because the meta may be,
you can shift it a little bit.
Yeah. Sorry. It's a bit of a tangent, but So core box, yes, awesome. Yeah. I think it's an awesome deal.
Really
good.
Yeah.
Really good.
Can we talk about like, just from an assembly standpoint, models you get inside of there. Because we've all bought miniature boxes. You open them up and you're like, all right, here's going to be 9 hours of my life just assembling these things.
So that is a pro. It is super
fast
assembly. The things I will say are I don't like as much are every unit's the same.
Yes.
And there's no variance in pose. There's no way to vary pose because of how they're built. Right, because they're essentially slotted arms.
I would say they are slotted. You could adjust them if you're willing. I mean, an experienced hobbyist, I mean, I would certainly consider doing it where, I mean, you don't have to use the pegs the way they are. You could shave them or something, cut the pegs out, and just readjust where it is with a little blue, green stuff or whatever.
And maybe some models. I think the problem is, and this is like a lot of games, is that the – what am I thinking – you only get 7 models total, right?
Yeah.
There's no box of 20 dudes and you only need 10 of them. There's no way to get extra models to start chopping them up and experimenting with and make new units, right? The only way you're going to get more is by actually
purchasing another box
more.
Or something.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Mm-hmm. So that certainly is true, right? You're not getting any extra pieces or bits to create varied options. Yeah, actually, I would say that would be one improvement that I could see that I would really love. To just see some different heads or like we said, Eric wanting to do some of the alien characters, you know, some of those small variants would be really nice.
Mm-hmm. And I think we're starting to see some of that with those extra units, but not to the point where it's going to make or break.
It'll probably get there.
Eventually. And eventually when more stuff comes out, we can do like kit bashing stuff like we do.
You tend to start Frankensteining. You tend to start cutting models apart and that ends up killing a model in the process of making another cool model.
Yeah.
So
And unfortunately, you can't just be like, I blew up my Ion Trooper. I was just going to buy one Ion Trooper. You're going to buy a whole new box.
Yeah, that is model. The problem. Which, I mean, that's probably the least your worries if you're using it for a new Ion.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
But but if it's your captain or your unit leader, because the unit leaders are so exactly the same, mm-hmm. and they're pretty iconic is how they look. It's a sweet-looking model, but I don't know that I want six of them on the table exactly the same.
Yeah.
I think you can maybe get away with that with varying painting.
Yep.
I think that might be a way of around it. They go together really easy. They paint really nice.
Yeah.
The quality is astonishingly good as far
they
as
they paint great.
Yeah. They do.
I was really, like, I was intimidated when I first got into this about the painting side of it. Cause I can paint, but I'm used to painting soldiers with standard gear and they look dirty and it's fine. So like the thought of having to have a clean stormtrooper.
White is an incredibly hard color to paint. We're all going to get way better at painting white by the end of this.
Unfortunately.
You guys will.
I thought the Stormtrooper was supposed to be the easy things to paint.
White is a really hard color to make look good on anything.
I know. Yeah.
But where was I going with that question, though, now? Well, like, where did that tangent go?
Well done.
Yes!
I think one thing that I would want to know if I was ordering two cores as opposed to anything else is what are the list building opportunities, the versatility for putting different armies on the table from the core boxes? Because we've played X-Wing when it first came out. You played Imperial Assault when it first started out.
Yeah.
You were very, very kind of limited down to what you were playing. And in this, it feels like we've played... Every time we've played, we'd have a different army on the table.
Well, I mean, you guys are playing more than the core boxes, but...
I mean, with the core boxes in there, you're getting two AT-RTs, you're getting two speeders, you're getting four troopers, you could just field three if you feel like it.
I mean, if you're playing just the cores, you're only going to field four unit troops, and some other stuff in there.
I think the point you're getting at is that there's still a lot of variability, both in, again, those options that we talked about, which force powers do you take, which weapon systems do you field all rocket launcher guys or, some mix thereof? Do you give them targeting scopes or grappling hooks or grenades or, so there's... and what mix, right? Do I give my guy with the rocket launchers the impact grenades, or do I give them the concussion ones? Or do I, I think there's enough variability at this point that, well, we don't have a lot of options. There's still a lot of options.
Yeah. There's enough to find your own personal play
style. I don't think we answered this when we were going over the actual core rule box. Like, if you were to kit out everything, how many points do you actually have?
A single box?
Single box. If you kit out Vader and you kit out all the troopers, I want to say it's about 400 each,
it's about 400. Because right? a full stormtrooper squad's about 100 and Vader's 200 plus,
I mean, so
30 or so. Plus, no, it's going to be more than that because then
Vader's higher than that.
But. Well, it's 230 and then the speeder bikes are 90.
Oh, I forgot. I forgot the speeder bikes.
Right, so, I mean, you're looking at closer to 500-ish from the Imperial side.
Right.
Yeah, and the Rebels will be a little bit less simply because Vader himself is more points to start with.
Right.
Yeah.
So, like, you do the math on two, you're still going to be over 800, but it's not going to... You can't have a second Vader.
You have a legal list, though.
You have a legal list.
You're ready to put 800 on the table.
And I think there's still options available as far as how you want to play it. Yeah. Now, that's not taking into consideration there are other things out there now, so you can vary your list significantly... Simply by buying,
which we'll touch on a next episode.
But just the fact that it's not just the core boxes out there. Let's not limit it. I mean, we're limiting the episode to what it's about. But you can vary your list immediately by going out and buying other models too. Right? That's not
which you and I both
already did.
Yeah, well, mine's a little more limiting than yours at this point. Still,
okay.
But
I already did.
Yeah, you already did. You went all the way in on that one. You pushed all the chips in. So,
I think we'll still, we tried to cover all of them, and I think there's definitely still more to say about each of these units. At some point, I think we'll probably come back and touch on them again.
Sure. I mean, I think we can dedicate topics to if we're going to pick all of the core equipment, which core equipment do we think is worthwhile and why?
Yeah, exactly.
And there's potential that it's better for one unit than the other and vice versa. Like, I think there's plenty to talk about, and I think this is a value to the game is that there's strategy in that.
Absolutely.
And I think that's a topic we can cover where we're going to be like, well, should this unit have targeting scopes?
I don't know. We'll find out. We'll sit down and play some games.
The more we play, I think the more we'll be able to tell you.
Right. I don't think we have the answers to answer that right now. We just know that this is available to you at this point. So I think long term we'll be able to answer those questions better. So
two cores? I vote two cores.
Oh, definitely.
I
would you go three cores?
I don't know. You guys sound like at this point you've almost convinced me to buy a second one. So yeah.
I think
that's because you broke your range template.
I think I would, but I think I would split that third one with someone else.
Really?
Because that puts you essentially 250 in.
Yeah, but you can play a total of six.
Yeah, I bought it. I won't anymore because
you
I bought,
did it.
I bought
the
it,
rest of us.
Yeah, right. Because it gets you all your core right now, and it's valuable. I don't think it's bad. I think you buy two and you see what comes out next, and you start playing around with some.
That's
other
my
stuff.
Hesitation to go into three.
Right. I think you're like. Does it lock you in? No.
A year from now, am I going to run six just regular Stormtrooper squads?
Probably not.
I mean, I don't know that we're seeing anything that we're like, yes, I want to play that instead, but we don't know. Yeah. I think we got a lot to see, and I think they're going to be releasing models on a fairly regular schedule that I don't think we're going to be.
I was going to say, it looks like almost every month for the next several
months.
We'll
be getting models, I just don't know how many quarters out we are right now as far as like what we've seen available. I think we're two quarters out right now.
Yeah.
So I commend them for showing us stuff. In advance to be able to like look at it and
get excited.
and quite honestly list. They're not
well they're showing not, us the upgrade card abilities
right.
Too so you can
that's
plan ahead
really nice. Right you get to look at a lot of stuff. I don't know if they're showing all the command cards, but that's okay. Like they're starting to show bits and pieces, and I think they're letting people expose that so that we're getting to read it and look at it and plan ahead, like you said. Like, this gives me an idea and it gets me excited. I'm like, I'll probably buy Leia day one.
For sure.
Just like you guys bought Veers.
We made a special trip for that.
You guys went on your way.
On our way up here, we made sure we got a copy.
Wait, didn't you make someone else driving?
Well, Pat was at FFG.
Yeah, he was already there. He's like, I'm already.
Do you guys
at
want one?
Store.
We're like, sure.
Yes.
Yeah. We'll take it.
Yes. To clean the shelf off so no one else can have them.
Do you really need to ask?
Yeah.
Well, I think the one thing that's nice is you can tell pre-release they got ahead of the support from a hobby standpoint. Because an FFG point of view, other than, was it Rune Wars? Is that the one that came out? Everything's pre-painted.
Yeah.
So up until this point, you buy into an FFG game and you're in, which is great. But for this one, it is unpainted models. There's a bajillion YouTube videos on how to paint stuff if you're scared. Quick guides, more in-depth stuff. Whatever level of hobbyer you are, there's something for you to find out how to make these models
look
unbelievable.
Yeah, they made videos.
Which is amazing.
They had amazing demo armies. They had amazing tables for terrain for those demo armies.
And the Etsy support for table building is through
that's
the roof
wonderful.
Right now.
Well, I mean, you know, all those guys were just itching to make terrain for Star Wars for a reason. They just now have a reason, and they can sell it on Etsy because people buy it.
Yep.
Because now they have a reason to buy it. I'm not a kiss ass in general.
Yep.
But I think a lot of that goes to credit to the game designer.
Yep.
Like, we're familiar with him. I've played in tournaments against him. I've spent enough time around him to understand he's a phenomenal hobbyist.
Yeah.
That's his love. Like, that's his first thing. Like, he's an amazing, he's a pretty dang good game designer. He came from X-Wing and now he's doing Legion. But I think his first love is painting models. So I think this is like his sweet spot. I think he's probably, if I could see him right now, I haven't seen him since the game is released, I think he's probably still grinning ear to ear permanently. Like, I don't think it's going to ever change.
Yeah.
I hope it doesn't. Because I'm excited for what he's got in mind for it, and I think it's going to be positives as long as...
Because I think that's the thing that when we first were really itching to get into the game is, like, I want to see what the models look like.
Yeah.
Because we've all painted so many different model lines that, Eric, you brought yours in, and we all looked at it and went, oh, these will paint up quick.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, and the problem also is when the pictures they showed up, they didn't give you enough detail because apparently there were supposed to be two female characters in the Rebel Troopers one, and you really couldn't tell which ones were the females.
Yeah, it's hard to tell. I will put this PSA out there.
Yeah.
Is watch out for mold lines.
There's a few.
And it depends on your box.
Yeah.
Like, my first box, I literally painted the whole box, and I'm like, there's zero mold lines.
Mm-hmm.
This is incredible. And then I'm like, well, okay, the first one didn't have any, so my second box, I painted it all up, and I'm like, crap, there's mold lines everywhere. So there's just a little bit enough of a variable there that you just need to keep an eye on.
And
all
if you
your
don't if you don't have a steady hand, it may be better to paint the arms of certain models before you glue them to the base.
Especially for the Rebel side, because a lot of the Rebel guns are covering their faces. So if you plan on painting faces, at least...
Like, I'm fine with it, because I'm used to doing that before, and I can whittle my hands in there.
Well, especially since I'm using such more blending techniques on the faces, I decided to not glue my hands in.
Yep.
So I did a lot of my priming and stuff with the arms in. Like, I put them in, I just slotted them in the thing, did all my highlighting and zenithal highlighting and shading and stuff, then pulled the arms back off so I could get to all those details. So, don't necessarily... Maybe if you've never painted before, sometimes it's nice to be able to get into this close stuff and not just immediately...
Because I did that. I did that with the speeder bikes.
Yeah, and you're like, dang, I shouldn't have done that.
No, the speeder bikes, I intentionally left the guys off.
Oh,
I was like,
there's
no way I'm basing these. I know how this is going to go.
Yeah.
And I did the speeder bikes completely separate and then glued the trooper on later, and it came out awesome.
Yeah.
So if you're anything like I was, which I'm used to bait and painting bolt action, I'm used to World War II guys, which if they look dirty, they were fighting. I'm fine. So it's general dirt and grime and all that stuff. So if you're intimidated by looking at a model that's supposed to look a little cleaner and look a little more sci-fi, these paint up really quickly. Mm-hmm. They paint up really well. And if you're patient, you'll put out stuff you're incredibly proud of.
And I was going to say, I think we've had a couple of our club mates that are painting stuff up. Post videos for some pretty easy techniques for stormtroopers that are pretty convincing. Yeah. Like, I think there's a dry brush technique and there's like a rub off technique.
This is all on YouTube.
And it's all on YouTube. You can go search for this stuff. There are plenty. There's millions of them out there. I know millions.
Which if we can find them again, we'll share them on our Facebook page.
Yeah, I think we'll be able to find them.
We'll post all those helpful little videos up there.
And some of them are, you can find right straight from the FFG site because they commissioned an artist to actually do a step-by-step.
Sure. The ones I found the most helpful, those are great and they are very helpful. And I don't think they're doing a bad job of like keeping the technical levels down enough where like it's pretty approachable to most people. The approaches the ones that we were watching or talking about are highly approachable for almost any painter level can pull those stormtrooper levels off and be like, oh dang. You just have to have a couple tools and you have to have some patience to learn it. But
you have to be willing to put the time in.
Yeah. I still think that those stormtroopers paint up pretty quick the way those techniques. I don't think there's any reason not to buy two core boxes. Yeah, I think we can keep saying that over and over again, and I don't think it matters. I don't think I think we've said it.
You've said it enough.
Times.
I agree.
Yeah, buy two, and kind of hold off on the third. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think there'll be other options soon enough.
I would spend more on a future episode when we talk about heavies.
Yeah.
That's probably where my next purchase would go after two core boxes is move on to the bigger units.
Even the Rebels, I would agree, probably, and that's probably true.
Yeah. Yep.
I think we can definitely talk about that in another episode is what 100%. We do after two cores. Yep. Because you do two cores.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
Do two cores.
Did we have anything else? I think that was everything.
That was our topic of the evening. We've covered in depth. We have sunk my battleship. I can't think of any Star Wars references at this point because it is 1:45 in the morning, fellas.
Oh wow.
It's safe to say that all of our Rebel transports have run out of fuel.
Yes. Yes. We're gonna turn around and turn on the hyperdrive.
No, we're not doing that.
Right, so Kevin, what was that reference for?
Shut up.
Don't worry, we'll do it in post.
I know you're sleeping tonight.
It's gotta have a lock.
Yeah, it does, but then I lock myself in with some really big snores.
Yeah.
Oh god. All right, let's get out of here before this gets any worse.
yes
Who's please. Saying it?
What's our send off?
I let's blow this joint and get out of here, boys.
Yeah,
sure.
All right,
have a good night, guys.
Night.